Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Welcome to Suffolk Matters, where all of Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News, opinions, and insights you won't hear anywhere else. Here's your host, the president of New York's largest independent union, Suffolk AME's Dan Levler.
Welcome to another edition of Suffolk Matters on Walk 97.5 and 94.3 The Shark, where Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News and views you can't hear anywhere else.
So my guest this morning is Kevin McCaffrey. He's the presiding officer of the Suffolk County Legislature, and he's president of the Teamsters Local 707, fellow labor union. And, you know, first of all, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure being here.
Yeah, and, you know, we were just talking a moment ago about your many appearances, and, you know, we've had some great conversations over time. And I was kind of struck by thinking about it yesterday, you know, when I first started getting involved and learning about labor and learning about government in labor and all that stuff, you know, having someone like you to talk to was always really great because I could get that perspective that came from the labor side and from the governance side. And it was, it's been a long and I think very fruitful relationship. So,
yeah, I think it's great. I think you put it best once when you said, when we have discussions about this, we don't need a translator.
Mm-hmm.
So that's.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I mean, in Albany, you can sit in somebody's office for 2 hours explaining to them what labor is before you can even, you know, kind of approach the subject. So, well, let's, you know, like we always do, let's start with some background, get into, you know, how you got involved in union work and how you got involved in government work.
Yeah, so it's a story sometimes people like hearing. You know, it's by default. I got married in 1984. Me and my wife bought a house in Lindenhurst.
Right.
And our next door neighbor was the president of the Civic Association. And he says, oh, you have to come to the meeting. We want you to get involved. And my wife was like, yeah, we have to meet all our new neighbors. And I was like, yeah, like I'm a truck driver. I'm working 12 hours a day. Yeah, I get home, I'm tired. She goes, no, we have to go to the meeting. Go to the meeting. She gets involved, becomes recording secretary. She becomes pregnant with my son. And she goes, oh, I don't feel good. Can you go to the meeting and take the minutes for me? Before I know it, I'm the president of the Civic Association.
Yeah.
And 2 years later, I got involved in a village election in a village of Lindenhurst. And Lindenhurst is the only village in Suffolk County in New York that runs as Republicans and Democrats. And so my family were all Republicans back in Oyster Bay, where I grew up, in Massapequa, right, the town of Oyster Bay. Mm-hmm. My uncle was a state Supreme Court judge. So we had been involved in Republican politics over there, moved over, and they heard about my background. They said, hey, can you get involved? So here I am, the president of the Civic Association, helping to take out a mayor that had been a 16-year incumbent.
Mm-hmm.
And so I worked hard with them in 1988. And to do that, when they won the election successfully, Fred Kinley won that election as mayor and brought in two other trustees. They asked me to run 2 years later, and I was successfully elected in 1990 in the village board. Same time, I'd been a truck driver, a member of Teamsters Local 707 since 1978.
Right.
I enjoyed the work. You know, it was, you know, a good career and it paid well, good benefits, as you know, in the union business, that's sure. what we're all about, you know, sure. providing that kind of things to our members. And so I was kind of happy doing what I was doing. And so I got this dual career going on and I become a shop steward for the Teamsters.
Right.
And then in 1994, they asked me to run for election for union office to unseat some incumbents. And that really weren't doing a good job. They were actually the reformers that came in once before and they found out they really didn't know what they were doing.
Right.
You know, and that's, as you know, you need to know what you're doing. That's
sure.
It's great to be in the background, throwing right. rocks, but you need to know what you're doing. They weren't. And so we were successful in that election as well. So that's how my dual careers in government and politics and labor came together.
Yeah. And now here you are. You're the presiding officer in Suffolk County, which means you've got to worry about your district.
Yep.
And all the districts, and you've got to work with your fellow legislators, all sides of the aisles, yep. you know, the different parties that are represented to get things done, to accomplish business on behalf of the people of Suffolk County. So, you know, what are the main responsibilities there? You know, I mean, I kind of stepped on, I stepped on your line a little bit, but, you know.
Yeah, like you said, you know, you got to take care of your home district first. You know, I mean, that's important. Yeah. You know, I've always been a very active legislator, involved in a lot of things. You know, this is my last year. I'm into my 12th year due to term limits. I have to step down at the end of the year. But people say, well, you're still running around like it was your first reelection. I said, I enjoy doing it. I love the retail part of politics. I like being around people. And most importantly, making a difference in people's lives.
Right.
People come to you with an issue that you're able to help them with, and whether it be on the government side or the union side, which you're very familiar with, and because that's what we do it, because we want to make a difference in people's lives. And I still like being out and about, and for the most part, people appreciate me being there. So if they keep inviting me, I'm going to continue to come.
Yeah, listen, I always find that people want an acknowledgement that you heard them, that you understand their problem, and that you're going to work on it. Right. You know, and so that's the first step, to give them that hope that, you know, hey, I've got someone I can speak to. They understand the problem and they've got an idea to fix it.
Yeah. And it's not like you can't guarantee that you're going to fix it. You know, we run into a lot of complex issues on both sides. But having someone that's willing to listen and understand and be empathetic to what is going on in your world, that goes a long way with a lot of people, you know. I brought that from the union side over to the government side, and it's worked very well for me. And as a legislator, and then as a presiding officer, you know, I was the minority leader before I became the presiding officer. I understand what it's like to be in a minority, and I like to think that I treat everybody, you know, with dignity and respect, no matter what the letter is after their name. And we work together, and I think if you ask most of them, they'll say I've done a pretty good job with that.
Yeah, no, I mean, you've got a great reputation for exactly that. And listen, you know, the experience on the union side, you learn a lot about coalition building, you know, getting groups of people together, getting them all on the same page and getting everybody, you know, kind of moving towards the same objective to get things done. And to do that at the legislature, you know, I mean, I've been around the legislature for a long time, and it wasn't always as smooth as, you know, I mean, we just did the installation. You know, you got put back in as presiding officer. The votes went smooth. The conversations went smooth.
Yep.
All the work was done in advance and ready to go. And that's, you know, that's a testament to the leadership that you provide. So.
Oh, thank you. You know, it was a unanimous vote, and I'm proud of that. You know, to have that doesn't always happen, and it worked out very well. And As someone said, trying to get all the legislators who have all different, diverse interests and ideas in protecting their districts, and you know, we need to come together as one many times, and for the good of the county. And sometimes it's you have to make that a priority, and that's my job, is to bring everybody together.
Right.
And someone used the phrase, I never did this, but said, herding cats, I think I heard someone say, and
I
just smiled and said, well.
I've heard that expression before, you know, and I know what that could feel like sometimes. So now, looking ahead, you say you got, you know, this little stretch of time left to get things done. So what kind of priorities do you have for this year? What's something you're hoping to get done?
So one of the biggest things that we were able to get done last year was get water quality initiative.
Yep.
And so this is the future of Suffolk County, and it's going to provide a lot of opportunities. Work opportunities in the public sector and the private sector as well.
Right.
You know, part of this plan is to make one sewer district. That's going to create a lot more work for us in the county and for your members as well, you know. And that's going to be the first piece of the puzzle. We are now starting to get that funding. It was passed, I think, March 1st. We'll start to get in that 1/8 cent sales tax coming in. We expect to raise over $50 million a year just in the first starting out, and be able to put that into work. And we have a 21-member board that has to be formed to help make determinations about how to coordinate the spending of that money. We have a sub-watershed wastewater plan that's in place already that shows the priority districts, whether it be for sewering or for the IA systems.
Right.
You know, and so we're ready to go, and we're moving forward with those priority. So that's really the most important thing we have going on right now on front and center.
Yeah.
And there's some others very close behind that too.
Yeah, I mean, Prop 2 was a big deal for us. That was something that we supported heavily. We got out and, you know, we talked about it a bunch. And we, you know, we had financial support behind it. It was an umbrella group of us all working together. And it was one of those rare instances where usually when I've worked on issues before, there's usually the pro group and the con group, right? You know, for lack of a better term. And on this issue, there really wasn't any organized effort against trying, you know, so it helped, you know, kind of form for us, you know, in our planning and everything else to try and lobby to get this thing through, that, you know, by and large, people were going to get it. They were going to understand that this was in their best interest. And that's, you know, this is when government works best. You take a little bit of resource from everybody and you provide something good for everybody. It's a public health issue. It's an economic issue. And I think, yeah, you're right. It's going to drive jobs, but it's also going to, it's going to have impact in different ways. How's, you know, the property value for people who own their home and they connect to a sewer, property value goes up, right?
Yes.
The amount of space you can build on a property then changes because, you know, the sewer line changes the need to have, you know, a septic system. The septic system has to take up a certain amount of land and you don't have that anymore. It's going to change how things develop. It's going to change things for business. I think all around it's going to be really great for folks.
We're doing some really good projects. One of the first ones that's teed up and ready to go is the called 1A. So that, you know, that's the first one. And that's the Oakdale, the Idlehour area down there. And they're like underwater down by where Dowling College was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's really going to bring some relief to those homeowners there and really help our environment. And, you know, we have sewers in my district, in Babylon and into Islip and parts of Bayshore. But the bottom line is if the faulty septic systems are leaking into the bay in Oakdale, that's going to cause a brown tide in Lindenhurst as well. So we're all in on this and making sure we fix that. We've got other areas that we're going to do. The whole Holbrook Business District is going to be done. So this is about economic development as well, to allow for more jobs, expansion of businesses that previously were shut out from that because they didn't have the septic systems to handle it, like you mentioned before. North of, in the town of Babylon, north of Southern State Parkway wasn't sewered. That's where I live, south of Southern State Parkway, we've had sewers for 50 or 60 years.
Yeah.
And you had to ask the question why. Well, we don't have to ask that now because that is being laid out. And all these things we had done previously before the Water Quality Restoration Act came out. We funded these projects with ARPA money, which we spend very well, by the way. And and we use those to be able to do the planning studies. So to get it ready and teed up and ready to go when we got this across the finish line, which passed by almost by 71%.
Yeah. It was significant.
And the point is, it was actually, I was a little disappointed because it was one percentage more of the vote than I got in my last election. But I was happy to see it get done. You know.
Yeah, no, that's great. You know, and listen, on an election front, to get that much of a district, you know, I mean, you usually see in a lot of races, it's the difference of like 5 points, 6 points, whatever, you know. So pulling in those kind of numbers for your election, that's a testament to the work you've done.
You know? I've worked hard and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. So I guess just one other thing, you know, we talk about, you know, this year, and I know, you know, as you're phasing out, but, you know, you're a planner like I am, and you look to the future. And so is there anything you see in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years in Suffolk County evolving, changes that are coming, you know, for the region?
Yeah, so one of the big projects, like I said, the water quality is one. Another big project front and center is Midway Crossing, and that is going to be transformative for many years into the future. We did the groundwork for that, and we started by changing the funding formula for the hotel motel tax.
Right.
We raised the hotel motel tax, and we're still significantly less other municipalities out there.
Right.
Probably half of what, if you go down to Orlando or into New York City, we're going to be half of what they're charging for their hotel motel tax.
Right.
And what we're using that money for is to be able to build a convention center, a hotel and surrounding infrastructure around that property by the Ronkonkoma train station.
Right.
Across from there is Station Yards. It's going to be 1,400 units of housing, and we're going to build. The plan is to bring life sciences into that area around the convention center and the hotel, and we're also going to work on a plan to have the Islip Airport be turned around to create a north terminal. So you'll have a connection between the Long Island Railroad, which is going to be served by Amtrak, is going to be going into Ronkonkoma now.
Right.
Then the Long Island Railroad, and you're going to have the Islip Airport right there all together, be able to come to our convention center, be able to come to stay in that hotel, be able to take advantage of the life sciences, which is not medical buildings, it's more so research, et cetera.
Right.
There's a lot of plans in place that have been finalized, but we're looking to partner with some of these big institutions, health institutions that want to bring in that work, you know, and
right.
Cold Spring Harbor is close to us,
yep.
Brookhaven National Lab, yep. Stony Brook, mm-hmm. Northwell Health, and all these players want to get involved. And it's kind of like if you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
And so we're going to build it, you know, and it'll be great for everybody. You know,
that's excellent. I mean, you know, it's all of these things, like they come with growing pains, right? We talk about Prop 2 and getting sewers in. Well, it's going to take some time to get the sewers installed. And there may be some inconvenience when they're doing, you know, the connection to your house. You may have to, you know, park in a street for you know, overnight while, you know, some work's getting done or whatever. And the same thing with developing this Midway crossing. But when it all comes together, it's going to, I think, like you said, transform the region. It's going to, you know, our office, the union office is not far from there.
Yeah.
And things are going to change. You're going to start seeing, you know, more restaurants and you know, and entertainment stuff surrounding that, because it's going to be close enough by where people are going to want to go out and be in the town. So it's huge economic development.
Create more sales, generate more sales tax, economic development. Be able to keep people on Long Island instead of people leaving Long Island because they didn't have the opportunities, whether it be in housing or in job opportunities. We're going to do that. And not just the private sector, but the public sector too. We're going to grow in a county. We're going to need to hire more of your members to be able to do the kind of work that needs to get done based on this new economic growth that we're going to be doing there, whether it be with the sewers, Midway Crossing, and all the other great things we have going on in the county.
Yeah, this is all very good stuff. What would you say, you know, in your tenure as a legislator, what's one of the goals that you had that you were able to achieve that you're most proud of?
Get elected for 12 years.
Yeah, that is no, not a bad answer.
I really want that. I really wanted to. It's the same way that when I got in the union business, I didn't know how long I was going to be in there.
Right.
But you grow in appreciation for being able to do things
right.
for people. As I said before, make a difference in people's lives. I was on the Lyndhurst Village Board for almost 24 years before I joined the legislature.
Right.
And I like to say I was in the twilight of a mediocre career, you know, and, you know, because I would say you're stuck in a rut, but you're doing the same thing for a long time.
Right.
And, you know, and I was doing other things. And when this opportunity came along to be a legislator, it really made a difference. And actually before then, it was probably 2012 was a turning point, I think, in my career.
Right.
Sandy hit.
Yep.
And I was the deputy mayor at the time. And, mm-hmm. and I kind of took control of the relief efforts that we had going, this place called Camp Bulldog down by Shore Road.
Right.
And it was a resource center. So I was able to, with the trucking companies and everybody else, I set up the logistics, and we'd have trailers down there coming and going, getting people to donate things and making sure we had an orderly process
right.
for it. And being able to, you know, deal with people who, and you know, the most telling thing is when people said, I've never asked for anything in my life, but I've lost everything.
Right.
Can you help?
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to help people who have never had to ask for help before, and didn't want to ask for help, and
sure.
find a way to help them was really good, and that really, you know, reinvigorated me. And so when the opportunity came up to run for office in 2013, I was ready, and I had a good baseline there with my time in the union in the village, and having gone through that Sandy experience. And so it was really helpful to me, and it's carried over the rest of my career. So just being able to help people, make
right.
a difference in people's lives. We straightened out the county finances, which
right.
is so very important to us. We lived that horror
oh,
show
yeah.
of having to deal with, you know, potential layoffs and things like that, and not being able to pay people
right.
what they deserve. And, you know, one of the things that we did when we turned around our county finances was to be able to say, you know what? We need to fix the gaps that we have here.
Yeah,
we financed at your suggestion to us a salary study, and we're expecting that to come out shortly. And we know we have some gaps in what we pay people.
Sure,
and we have trouble filling a lot of positions. And we appreciate you coming to us and saying, "Look, here's the problem. We
right.
we knew it was out there, but we didn't know the extent and the details. And based on that, we put money in the budget to be able to do that. We expect that to be coming up." And we're going to fill those gaps. We're going to do what we need to do and work with you in partnership to get that done.
Yeah, and you guys worked very hard also on the budget last year, not only, you know, getting the funding in for the salary study, but putting positions back into the budget,
yep.
right? In the past 12 years or so, there were positions in the budget that were unfunded. So it shows as if there's going to be somebody working those positions, but they weren't.
Right.
So to be able to, you know, fix the rate of pay, you know, I've always said, you know, very passionate about this. You know, if you're working for the government full time, you should be able to afford to live in the jurisdiction and survive, raise a family, right? You know, and so trying to fix some of these inequities, and then also to include, like, hey, we understand we need to do hiring. We've lost a lot of employees, whether it was attrition, budget, you know, budget issues, whatever else. So to be in a position to start hiring people back so that the services in Suffolk County are, you know, are as great as they were in years past, right? So
yes,
it's a big deal.
Yeah, we have a lot of work to do, and we look forward to working together with you and all across the county with the other unions to make sure that we provide the resources to be able to provide the people to provide those services.
Sure, sure. And listen, it's been a long time coming, and I would say, you know, I would be saying it wrong if I could point to any one person, right, in this whole process. This has evolved over 40 some odd years, and it's gotten to the point where, you know, folks know they can take a civil service test and get a job for one of the towns or the villages or in the school system, what have you, where they would have union protections, where they would have comparable benefits, and the pay would be significantly more. So we've had examples, and you and I have talked about it, where we put out, you know, people take the test. We put out a list, you know, we get a list of names. We ask everyone on that list if they want the job, and nobody takes it.
Yes.
So it is our problem, right? It is something that we share, you know, and on behalf of my members, I want to thank you for taking the time to listen, understand. And there's so many things that people want all the time. People asking, you know, the legislature, can we get this? Can we get that? Can we, you know, whatever. To prioritize your employees, you know, I really, again, from on behalf of my members, I want to thank you for that.
Well, thank you for bringing it to us and making that important, and we look forward to following through on that.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about Local 707. I mean, again, it's your trucking force, and you know, there's other aspects to it, and I don't want to steal all, you know. But let's talk about the men and women that work for Local 707.
Yeah, so we took a big hit last year. One of our largest employees, Yellow Freight, went out of business, you know. So it was that was tough. So we're still recovering from that. We're out there organizing new members in different industries, you know. But we have a pretty good reputation out there providing benefits and working through any issues that we have and representing our members. That's what we do.
Yeah.
And so we feel that we're going to be in a good place. We're in a growth mode right now and
excellent.
Working back to getting back to where we were before. So
yeah. And you know, something maybe people don't readily think of when you think of 707, because, you know, again, a lot of that is trucking, but breadcrumbs and iced tea. I mean,
yeah.
I've my whole life I have been supporting, you know, union businesses.
Foods. Yes, yeah. So those are our members. If you drink the iced tea or use the breadcrumbs or the other products that they make, it's a 4C. They're located in Brooklyn. We represent workers at Nassau County OTB. So I have public sector employees as well.
Mm-hmm.
We represent the all the workers at Teachers College, which is part of Columbia University,
right.
Whether it be the security guards, the custodial staff. Same in Manhattan College, we represent the workers there. We have private ambulance workers in Brooklyn and the Bronx. And we've DiCarlo Foods, we represent the workers there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you almost any cheese that you get at Costco, it was probably made by local 707 members through Saputo Cheese or some of the other companies that we represent in New Jersey. So yeah, so we're pretty diversified now, and it's worked out well for us.
No, it's great stuff. And you know, people get involved in union work to help other people, and 9 times out of 10, you know, it's probably more like 99 out of 100. You start on the floor of one of these places, you know, helping manufacture something, like yourself driving a truck. I was in engineering over at DPW, and you start hearing about the problems and seeing, you know, the problems surrounding you, and you start, you know, asking questions. Did we handle this the best collectively?
Yes.
Did we handle this issue the best way? And then, you know, I mean, like myself, like yourself, you start dedicating your life to that, and you you know, I mean, this is all I talk about. It's all I think about. It's on the weekends. I see friends. This is all like, you know, it's impossible not to talk business because that's all that's really going on. But at the end of the day, it's such a worthy, you know, it's such a worthy effort to put in life. And just speaking about the salary study in Suffolk County again, you know, to be able to be in a position to have these conversations, have good partnerships with folks that get it and want to help and have the means to help. And all of a sudden we can start turning around county government and it's a big accomplishment. I think really great for our members and again, your leadership and the folks around the horseshoe, all kind of, you know, jumping in and helping out with this and working with the administration to get this done, all very big stuff.
The administration has done a great job, you know, in terms of being on board, stuff, understanding the issue and understanding that we need to hire the people we fund in the budget. And appreciate your partnership in bringing this forward and being persistent about it. You need to be persistent.
Oh, yeah.
And Dana, you and everybody else in the AME, the executive board, and everybody else involved has been persistent and gotten the message out there how this would benefit the county. Not just what it would cost the county, but how it would benefit the county.
Right,
you've helped people see how that could make a difference. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think we all share between the administration, the legislature, and the unions in Suffolk County. We all want the best workforce for the best people in the best county, right?
You know,
and we want to hire the best people. We want to provide the best services. And so having that common goal and you learn to speak the language after a while.
You
start understanding how things are prioritized, and you understand what competition may be out there, other folks needing time and attention as well, and sometimes backing off because it's the right time to back off, and sometimes being more persistent, I sometimes am maybe overly persistent, but
that's what you're supposed to do.
These members, they work really hard. They really care about their job.
Yep.
And you know, again, I say this about public servants, but it's really true of union folks in general. They're also, you know, little league coaches, volunteer firemen. You know, you go into a firehouse, you throw a rock, you're going to hit somebody that's in a union somewhere. You know, they all come from that community and that sense of community that this is us, right? So when you work, you know, you take a job somewhere and you're like, listen, I'm going to go in, I'm going to punch the clock, I'm going to do some things, I'm going to go home. AME members, union members in general, you know, how many times have you passed the building where, you know, you're riding with a buddy? I've done it before. You know, it's like, hey, I worked on that job. That's my building.
Right.
You know, that sense of, you know, we made this island and we're making Suffolk County great.
Yep. They are the fabric of our community, you know, and our county as well. So it's really, and they should be recognized and rewarded for that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's been a great effort put into this, and to see it come to fruition is going to be, you know, it's going to be the highlight of a career. So, you know, I don't often get to do this, but when I can, I like to. You know, I ask a bunch of questions that are of interest to me, and I think and hope interest to the audience, and make sure that people understand government, how it works, the people who are working on it, what their character is like. But is there anything I didn't get to today that you would think, you know, you might want to get out there?
I think we touched a lot of bases, you know. And
we did.
And I got to tell my story. I don't always get to, not everyone's always that interested in it, you know. But thank you for asking. And it's been a good ride. And I am, I'm not done. You know, I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do.
Right.
I mean, I still have that CDL in case I wanted to drive it. I always have a default. But I don't think I'm going to have to do that because there's a lot of opportunities that I have and you know, whether it be an elective office or something else, but I like what I'm doing. I like being in a position to be able to make a difference in people's lives, and I expect to be able to continue that work well after this year's over.
Yeah, no. I missed something as you were talking. I realized very few people know about benefits, employee benefits, more than you do. And I get to see you at the International Foundation when we go, you know, for our trainings every year, and I've made master trustee level now, so there's that, you know, I guess that milestone, and like it's at the point where I'm comfortable talking about the stuff, and am able to learn. You are probably at the point that you've forgotten more than
As you know, an employee benefit's always changing. You know, I was lucky enough to, I worked hard and got my certified employee benefit specialist. Mm-hmm. And you have people in your organization that are pursuing that. And that's great. And you to take it to the next level being, you know, the trustees master's program and with the International Foundation. I sit on their board of directors. I speak at their conferences. I'm also the fund administrator for our welfare and pension funds. Mm-hmm. And so I'm pretty versed in that. And, you know, that's one of the things that I wanted to make sure I had all the education I can, like you are doing, to make sure you make the right decisions that are going to benefit your members and use the money that's given, you know, to us judiciously and to the best interest of our members and the plan participants.
And it's an awesome responsibility.
Yes,
you know?
It is.
Yeah, because
one of the most important things we do.
Yeah, you're talking about affecting, you know, families at that point, you know.
Yes.
And in union work, you're always affecting families anyway, even if only one member of the family is involved. It still has an impact on you know, their life, their home life, their community. But especially when it comes to things like health care and, you know, some of the ancillary benefits, short and long-term disability, optical coverage, dental, all this stuff is very important.
We both get that.
Yes. So my guest this morning, Presiding Officer Kevin McCaffrey and also President of Teamsters Local 707. I want to thank you again. You know, a million times over on behalf of my members, all the work that you've put in, and there are countless things that I could point to, but again, on the salary study and funding that, really just thank you.
As always, thank you for having me, and thank you for the good work that you continue to do for your members.
And to our listeners, we'll speak to you next week.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.